Seminole Headlines is brought to you by Register Sausage, serving the Florida Panhandle and Lower Alabama for over 75 years. To find a store near you or to buy directly from Registers, head to registermeats.com. That's registermeats.com.
It's time for Seminole Headlines, featuring WarChant.com's Jeff Cameron, managing editor Ira Schofel, and senior writer Corey Clark. Your weekly dose of all things FSU, pistols, and pies starts right now. Here's Jeff Cameron.
And away we go. Welcome in Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. It is great to be with you. They're the boys, if you're watching on War Chant TV. To my left and my right, hello. Good to have you on board. Thanks for listening on 93.3. And this hour, as always, brought to you by our friends at Register Sausage. I'm just going to start right away with yay sausage.
And now I go into my jingle?
Yes.
Yeah. No, I'm not doing
it. No, you're not going to do it.
I don't know. I don't feel like it took off it like I wanted
it
to. It
didn't take off. It was a terrible idea.
The Horizons one, though, that's coming. That's going to be big.
Oh, it's going to be strong next
yeah,
hour?
Yeah, no. It's
hang in
big.
There if you don't want to get anything else.
As long as you haven't gotten a cease and desist from
the other people.
The other one? The insurance company?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Register Sausage, man. I texted you guys over the weekend. I texted Ben the Sausage guy as well.
I saw the pictures.
My Publix is just, they're all in with Register
Sausage.
Showering
in Register
Sausage. I mean, you walk in the front door, they've got a case there. They've got that huge case that I tweeted about a couple weeks ago. You know, man, these other sausage purveyors, these other sausage
slingers,
they're
going down.
They're in trouble.
Unless they come to us with an offer. We can, but we're not going to do that. Ben's grandfathered in, so we wouldn't even dare.
Then
to
why
do
would
it.
You say?
Well,
unless they
I mean, look, if
Corey lets you know who he is, right?
Real
outset.
Quick, yeah, real quick. Yeah. It should be a picture of the three of us, like inside that Publix, like the life size picture of the
I
three of us.
I actually think that the Register sausage packaging should be the three of us like this.
Yes. Well, I don't know if I want my.
Oh, we want our faces on sausage.
I don't know about that.
But not only is it the best sausage you could get, but it also unbelievable customer service. Somebody tweeted at me that they had an issue with UPS. It wasn't Ben. It wasn't Registers.
No.
But they had an issue with their shipment, and Ben automatically texted the guy, said, you know, hey, let me know your information. You can order registermeats.com is the website. You can order it at any time, anywhere in the country except you renegades in Alaska probably.
Yeah, criminals.
No. But we're probably killing Ben's sales in Alaska because maybe
he's
got to
be
could.
Like cease and desist,
it's depleted.
Guys. Yeah,
it's
we've
depleted
tried
the whole
here. Yeah, no.
the quarterly income.
Like Corey smirched.
Corey breaking out the old school Braves.
That's well, it's become popular, Corey. You're late to the game.
Right.
I've noticed that, and you're a great fan of the Braves. Well, you're a good fan of the Braves.
Not a great one.
Yeah, a good fan I don't of the know. Braves. His most great. Recent action would not.
Well,
really,
he doesn't know about that. I don't think.
Oh, what happened? Did he leave early?
Yeah. Look.
Oh, my God, this just happened. Are you kidding me? Why would you, A, admit that?
I told,
don't tell
because
anybody
Because I'm
that.
A man, and I admit my mistakes.
Yeah, but you
I
are
admit
a
my
coward
mistakes.
Is what you're admitting
I
to.
I told Aslan. I was at football practice. I said, usually, you know, Corey tells a story on Wake Up. I'll let you guys keep it. I'm not going to make him bring it over here to Seminole Headlines.
Oh, my goodness.
But I heard that one.
You
I was like,
missed a walk-off?
Yeah. There's a lot of things happening. I hated the people in front of me. I couldn't take it any longer.
Well, okay.
It had been 4 hours of it. Of these college-age kids
now,
just throwing stuff at each other.
I want to add to this conversation. Just let's get back to you being soft.
Yeah.
All right. So you just decided, not that it was
you
too
just,
late for
you
Brady
beat the
or
traffic.
You just
you
wanted
to beat the
well, it was a school night, too. Let me throw that in there. And I'm a Braves fan.
Appealing to our parental sense.
I'm a Braves fan. When they give
really.
Up two in the seventh to the Dodgers, that's a wrap.
Because that's how baseball works.
We split,
you saw the shot clock going down.
Yeah, we split 1-1. It's like, all right, we got to go to L.A. and try to win one and see if we can get back here for game six.
So your son was denied the opportunity.
Yes,
after
but
waiting.
It was almost Brady's decision. Brady was perfectly
I like
fine
that.
With
that's
it.
That's the best part. He's trying to pin it on Brady.
It really was. He was perfectly fine with it. He kept saying, if they get a lead, are we going to leave? Are we going to leave? And when the Dodgers got the lead, he's like, when do you want to leave? Do you want to leave now? And I go, no, we'll wait and watch the Braves hit in the seventh. And then Dansby grounds him to double play. I'm like, all right, man, let's get out of here. They're not winning this game. They're not winning this game.
So were you listening in the car on the way home when they won the game?
So,
and it's not like, it's not like you invested much in the tickets.
Well, they weren't crazy expensive. If I'd have spent more money than I should have, we would have stayed. They were outfield seats. By the way, Stetson Bennett was three rows in front of me.
Yeah, great.
How about that?
I bet he stayed.
Yeah, that's what Brady said.
Yeah.
I should have rolled with Stetson. Yeah,
but yeah. Brady told friends he went to he told some friends he was at the game on Monday and like, oh, what'd you do to celebrate with your dad? And he's like, well.
We were asleep.
He goes, we both did a fist pump in the car listening to it on the way
man,
home.
There's no way. When I was Brady's age, there's no way in hell I would
oh, no, he
the
did
truth.
Admit to it. That's right. I said, did you tell people you went to the game? And he goes, yeah. And he go and I go, did you tell them you left early? He goes, no.
I was
like,
never,
what would you have said if they'd asked? He goes, I guess I would have said Me and my dad did a fist bump on the way home, driving, listening to it in the car.
Yeah, some facts.
I literally pulled into my neighborhood. I was pulling into my neighborhood when they hit the walk-off. And part of me, because I'm a Clark, thinks the reason they won is because I wasn't there.
It's an awfully weird thing to think.
I know. I'm not proud of it, but I'll admit it. I made a mistake.
You have no choice. It came up. You brought it up. I wouldn't have if I were you.
I'm sure Brady will get.
Ira brought it up.
I'm sure Brady will get a lot of other opportunities.
Yeah, to be there for a walk-off in the playoffs.
I told him if there's a game seven, we're going.
and
there probably will be. And if there's a if they're in the World Series, I'll take him to World Series game to make up for it. But
Are you going
to
leave early in that World Series game?
If they get down by a run,
if they get down 1-0 in the first, you're like, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. Let's beat this trap. There's too many people here.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, I wasn't my best moment.
No,
but they won. They won because of it.
Yeah, that's not why they won. I was about to just tease you about the shirt because I've noticed it's made a huge comeback now.
Yeah.
Everything retro.
I think it had a lot to do with Henry Aaron, too.
But everybody now, when they go ahead and pan the crowd, you always see that shirt. I'm like, oh, everybody's on board with the shirt now. I thought it was cool the first time I saw a guy in town at the Publix where there was Register Sausage everywhere.
Right.
And as I was walking, I was like, oh, look at that old school guy with the A. And now it's everywhere. And I'm like, now I'm annoyed. Now you should wear the most modern Braves thing.
Well, come on, man. Don't be like that. But speaking of
leaving early.
You're
going to leave anyhow.
I didn't leave early for the Choke It Dope. Stayed for that one.
Yeah.
My dad wouldn't let us leave.
I was going to say, it was also the younger Corey Clark.
So yeah, that's true.
The older Corey Clark gets mad at the 20-year-olds in front of him in the stadium.
Now let's explore this for a second, because before you walked into the studios today, Ira, we had a few minutes to talk, Corey and I did, and I had asked, I said, well, you had a big spectating weekend. You know, I knew he'd gone to the Georgia game.
Mm-hmm.
Good job with that, you know.
Won that one.
And so I made a joke. I said, listen, admittedly, I'm spoiled. 20-plus years of being in the media and sitting in the best seats in the house and not having to deal with the public in general. Not everybody's a bad person, but there's enough rowdy, sorry fans out there that it gets annoying, right?
Unless you're one of them.
You don't even know.
You think you're clever, thing you're yelling to the Dodgers.
Right. And so, sure as hell, now that every now and again, you know, my dad's getting up there, mm-hmm. so I pick a couple of games a year to sit with him in the stands. And while I love sitting next to him, I'm frequently annoyed. Just by everybody else. I'm a spoiled brat. I can't deal with it. You got to deal with the stand-up guy, the guy who tells
How about that?
Else to
there was
stand
a guy
up.
At the break. Not that
stand,
guy.
I can't stand that guy. Just stop doing
there
that.
There was a dude that was four rows in front of us that just stood the whole game.
Yeah, see?
In between
that's
innings,
what I'm saying.
Commercials.
It's random stuff like that. Doesn't matter,
and
right?
People were asking him, hey, man. He's like, he just turned around and smiled, but he just stood.
And
it's like,
I don't
why
mind.
Are you doing that?
I'm not saying don't stand on 3rd and 7.
Right. Yeah,
I'm
man.
Not saying don't get up and get loud in the right moments. I'm saying that there's a time and a place, but I also don't need some dude 7 rows over turning and imploring me and everybody else in the section.
Yeah.
Get up. Man, go to hell.
Who
I don't
want
to hell
not
a chair.
My dad.
Shut up and turn around.
You're not my dad.
And then you usually get some just ass-hammered drunk dude who's
so basically
not even
what you're
sense.
Saying is you would have left early, too.
No, I would have never been sitting in the stands.
Well, I would have been. I couldn't finagle that one. Somehow War Chant couldn't get a press credential to the Dodgers-Braves game.
So we were talking about that. I said, how was it for you sitting in the stands in Athens? Because he hadn't been in a Georgia game in forever. And football's different than baseball. Football
is
usually
Georgia
out of
fans are different than.
Yeah, it gets a little.
I've had a couple experiences with some.
But
Georgia
I was
fans.
With I was on the faculty side. So I wasn't
so that
around
helped
people.
Out.
Yeah. You know, I'll say this to bring it back to Florida State because I took Brady and I was talking to Aslan about this. Like, Brady had never been in a stadium with 90,000 people before. When he comes to Florida State games, it's
45,000.
Well, he came to the Louisville game.
Right.
So you can understand.
Yeah.
But when Aslan brought up, and Travis Hunter was there, saw him walking around.
That's good to know.
Just so you know, Brady's a real one. He's wearing his Georgia shirt, but he wanted to go run down to where Travis Hunter was to tell him he couldn't wait to see him in Tallahassee. That's how Brady rolls.
Did you let him do it?
No.
You should have.
Yeah, it was a lot
Let's
of people
go.
Down there. But there wasn't – that Georgia experience wasn't anything better than Florida State Notre Dame. That energy, the atmosphere in that stadium
was –
I don't even think it was the same. It was less. And the one thing that Florida State has
well,
with
you were
people like
– here's a mid-afternoon game against Kentucky.
Well, still, it was number one versus number 11.
Like Kentucky doesn't bring in the same cachet as a night game, singular, only game on in the country with Notre Dame.
I mean, who else is Georgia playing at home that's a big game?
I'm
this is their biggest
you,
home game of the season, and they're number one in the country for the first time in 39 years. And their crowd
still Kentucky.
Wasn't anything – I mean, I shouldn't say it wasn't anything. It wasn't. I don't think it was as good as the Florida State Notre Dame game, where Florida State was coming off a 3-6 season.
But you're also talking about just the pageantry, also, right?
I mean, well, I'm talking about the energy and the atmosphere of the stadium, just the energy inside the stadium. And there's 90,000 people there. They weren't as loud as whatever the 70,000 that were at Doak. So my point with Aslan and Brady too was like, look, Travis Hunter experienced both of those. Like, there was nothing at Georgia, and I was there and I'm alum, that would, other than the product on the field, the pageantry and the crowd noise and the atmosphere, it wasn't any better than what he saw here again.
Well, that's good
in
to know.
The opener.
But listen,
really,
I mean,
it wasn't even all that, didn't seem all that close.
Even if it were, though, I mean, this has been about something different because Florida State is not where Georgia's at. And so his commitment to Florida State has long been about who he committed to
but
and
I
why.
But I think people get worried about, oh, he went to the game day game. He went and saw the number one team in the country in front of 90,000 people. If he came to Florida State, it'd be 50,000. Well, he did see Doak in all its splendor. He got to experience that.
Right.
And he's gotten to experience Sanford Stadium as loud as it will be this season. And it wasn't all that close, I don't think.
I thought it was pretty interesting when I asked Norvell about, you know, we couldn't ask about Travis Hunter particularly, but
right.
But in general about recruits, commits, going to visit other games. And he talked about the big thing being the communication. And that was interesting because, you know, the quarterback that was committed back in the spring, that mm-hmm. was the deal. He didn't, from what I understand, did not tell them he was going to be visiting Arizona State. And all of a sudden they find out there he is in Arizona State's locker room with
yeah,
Arizona
okay,
State.
Okay, yeah, a good one, yeah.
So they're like, okay, we're done here. But, you know, obviously Travis Hunter is a different situation because of his stature. But just in general, you know, if you want to take another visit, that's fine. And I thought the other thing he said that was cool is he said, I really think a lot of times when you go to another school, it's going to make you realize that what we're doing here is cool and a better fit, which is a good approach. I mean, I don't know if it's always going to work, but it's definitely a good approach.
I was talking about recruiting the other day. I don't, you know, on my show, I don't get too into recruiting. I understand how important it is, but I always thought, like, you have to be open to kids taking all of their visits, understanding that for some kids, they've never been out of the city right. they live in. They what an opportunity. And I was kind of making fun of myself saying, yeah, I got to visit Western Kentucky and Ohio University and places like
Ooh.
That. Whereas William and those guys, I would see the mail and they'd get Notre Dame and Michigan and Florida State. And it was so cool. And I remember even after William committed to Bobby Bowden, he was like, well, I'm still going to take my other visits. I still want to see what it's like at Notre Dame. I still want to see what it's like in Ann Arbor. I'm like, why wouldn't you? You have to. But that's just it. Have faith in what you're doing, you know, a belief in what you're doing, but also the lines of communication are everything, right? I mean, if you say, hey, I'm going to go visit, like, go get it. Go get it. We got nothing. We're not worried about it. Go. I know fans wish that wasn't the case, though. I mean,
well, in his situation,
it feels bad to see Travis Hunter at Georgia.
But his situation is also different because he's what? How long did it take you to get to that game? You live in
Gwinnett
County.
Yeah, it's 40 minutes. It's really close. It's down the road.
So, he might be at every game.
Yeah, I mean, he might go to. I mean, and look, if you're a kid that can get a ticket to the number one versus number 11 team and two undefeated teams, and you're a football fan, you probably want to go. I mean, I'm not saying there's nothing to worry about. I have no idea what's going on with him in Georgia. But again, I just want to stress, it won't be that crowd was so over the top that he's like, okay, I got to play for these.
Right,
I got to play in this stadium because I can't get that at Florida State. I'm telling you, what happened that was it Sunday night? Sunday night against Notre Dame. That was more electric, much more, especially in the fourth quarter, than anything that happened at Georgia on Saturday.
Which goes back to say how
smart. For that defense. You might want to play for the defense. I don't know. It's a pretty solid defense they got there.
But what also shows how smart it was that they put so much on that game, because that's what we asked her in the summer. Man, are they making a mistake bringing all these kids for official visits?
They had to play well, though.
But, well, they did. They did.
They needed to play well.
It worked out. But it was also smart because, you know, man, you invite them to a home game against Syracuse, and you don't get that.
No,
even if you win,
you don't get that
fourth quarter again was dope and all its splendor.
Well, you pushed, you anteed up, anteed up, and you counted on the fact that you would show up and make that a game. Now down 18, I'm sure it felt probably a little uneasy, and then next thing you know, you're going to overtime. That place is electric, and I was in the stands for that game, and it was incredible. I absolutely loved it, and I'm sure, and from all accounts, the recruits did, and that has really been something, along with the fact that they were honest with those guys before the season began. You don't get the sense at all, we've reiterated this time and again, that they promised them something pie in the sky. Like, they didn't tell these kids we're going to go win 10 games. Miami did. Miami told their recruits that they were going to go win a bunch of games. No, they're
did
not.
Did Miami just lose their best their leading rusher, too?
Cameron's gone, He's gone for the year. Yeah, heartbreaking.
If Corey gets an extra ticket, would your dad go to the Braves game with him?
Sure.
Is he cool leaving in the seventh?
He's a Giants fan, so
beat
he wouldn't care whether.
Okay,
all right. Yeah, sure, let's go. Bum. Invite me to a game. I'll convince you to stay. Come on. I'll help you through the close. I know. Those innings where it's tied at two and the go-ahead runs on it.
The Braves, other than the home run that he hit to the moon, the Braves have been so anemic. I'm like, I can't. The game's over. They're not going to score two runs off this bullpen. Freddie can't even put the ball in play. Literally can't make contact.
That home run that Jacquet was
A prodigious missile.
That was unbelievable.
Yeah, that was a great angle because we're in left field, so you can see it like rising as it hits the chop house. It was nuts.
Yeah, he pissed on that one.
He did.
Yeah. Simple Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends, so for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
Seminole Headlines continues. I'm just checking out the headliner questions. People are excited.
Imagine if you had been at the Tennessee game. If you were sitting in those stands.
Man. Well, I was at a game like that.
A little belligerent.
The playoff game against the Cardinals, the outfield fly
roll.
I say we, it was outfield. We littered, I shouldn't say we because I didn't throw. I didn't have a beer. Or I would have.
No, you would.
That place was littered with stuff. And it looked a lot like Tennessee.
In both cases, it was kind of understandable.
Except for golf balls. You don't throw golf balls at people's heads.
The Braves call was unbelievable. And then this call was pretty terrible.
It was an awful call. I don't know even if he got the spot right that it was definitely a first down, but he wasn't a yard short.
That guy just ran in. Yeah.
There's something about making bad calls with great certainty. Giants.
He definitely went.
If you're gonna do it, just do it with great certainty.
Yeah. That was. I was talking to my mom about that because she has one of her best friends a Tennessee fan, and she's like, "Why were they so mad?" I'm like, "Well, they've been drinking all day. They've been down for 20 years. The guy that left them in the middle of the night was the coach on the other team. He's a smug.
Yeah, difficult to like.
He's
egging him on before the game.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot of things at stake, and it was a really bad call. It didn't cost them the game necessarily because they did get the ball back and had another chance.
And the quarterback ran out of bounds for no
reason. Reggie balled it.
I feel so bad for that kid. He's never played.
Throw the ball.
And I don't think he
knows the rules of the sport.
I know, man, but I just think he didn't.
Throw it straight
I don't think you do
anything but what you did.
You might get a pass interference call.
You
got
to throw it into the end zone.
The only way you're definitely going to lose is to run out of bounds.
I agree. He should have just thrown it backwards. But if he had thrown it backwards, they're not going to win anyway.
He had a better chance than if he ran out of bounds.
I just feel bad for the kid because you could tell he started to scramble, and then I don't think he realized,
I passed the line of scrimmage.
And that's like, now what do I do?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, turn and throw it that way.
Anything.
Do something.
Yeah, anything, but don't run beyond the line of scrimmage. And then if you do, right before you do, just sling it into the end zone and see what happens. You can't do what you did.
But the throw before, he actually put it on the guy. It would have been a tough catch, but he had a shot.
But it was another good weekend for the Noles. Without even playing a game. A solid weekend.
Yeah, Miami and Florida lose. Clemson looked terrible.
That Florida loss, I don't get it.
They ran a counter 14 times.
LSU couldn't run on anyone the whole season.
Correct. They ran a counter, literally just a counter, 14 times.
And is that guy? That guy's like not the next Adrian Peterson or anything.
No.
I mean, I'm sure he's a good back. He's at LSU, but he's not incredible.
200 and whatever 80 yards.
80-something yards. Yeah, it was the most since Herschel, right?
Yeah. No, it's insane. And it was basically like Notre Dame against us, that it, same counter. It was unreal. I'm talking about the one from a year ago, which is just weird to watch. And it's especially weird because everything you read in Baton Rouge is that they absolutely loathe Ed O, meaning the players do, the assistants do, everybody does.
They rallied up for
up to beat Florida.
Yeah, that's
maybe
what it
is. Told them if, it's more about the Florida
exactly.
thing.
Exactly.
Maybe he told them, if you win this game,
I'll quit.
I'm done.
I'll quit.
I'm done. Yeah, I'm out if you win for me.
So at least, even though he's a scumbag, at least the guy said what I thought every coach should say the moment they get their kiss my ass on Main Street handed to them, which is $17 million in this case, to go have a nice life away from here. At least he was like, yeah, I've got a little bit of money in the bank. I may get a couple of cheeseburgers.
He can afford a hamburger or something. He can eat a hamburger too.
Like, just because he asked, asked him, are you going to coach next year? And he said, no. I was like,
exactly
no,
right.
Not only am I not going to coach, watch this, I'm going to take my shirt off.
Yeah.
What do you think of this? Watch this, I'm going to take my pants off too. What do you think of that?
Yeah.
I would just start saying crazy stuff.
Yeah.
What does it matter?
What does it matter at this point?
Yes, that's nuts. Anyhow, it was a good weekend for Florida State because, A, they got to mend. We watched Miami lose. They've got to be crestfallen in a way that sees them sort of go through the motions the rest of the year.
You would hope.
I would like to think.
And they got two wide receivers going into the portal, right?
And unfortunately, their running back got hurt. Now, I don't wish for that to happen, but it did happen, and he's gone for the year, and he's a good player. So that hurts them. That's
but don't
a
you like when this season started, and specifically after the second game of the season, and you're looking at your rivals and the conference as a whole, you're like, man, Florida State, this might not ever happen. They're so far behind. They're not even in the race. They haven't even started the race yet.
Play the game.
A month later, you're looking at everybody in the conference, and you're like, okay, well, you're at least on the same lap with them. And Florida and Miami aren't that far ahead of you. I think Florida's still ahead of you. I don't think Miami is. I think you're equal teams right now. You're probably a little better because you got a better quarterback.
Well, and Miami doesn't stop the run.
Yeah.
And it is going to be interesting to see what happens with Florida because he's not in trouble, but that situation doesn't seem sustainable. I mean, like, there's no way.
I thought the weirdest thing, I'm sorry, but Anthony Richardson kind of wavering on whether or not he'd be there.
Yeah, that was odd.
Well, he came out and clarified.
Well,
I'm sure they told him.
But I mean,
why is that his first response? Is I'm a Gator for now.
That is
it's like,
nuts.
That's weird. It's like
your,
you're a Gator,
your
man.
Your future starting quarterback. Really, the future of the program. He's a athletic freak,
and he's been hurt. It's not like he hasn't played because there were especially early in the year when he wasn't hurt, they were still Emory
but
Jones.
But also, he could have started this last game. I mean,
he played when it mattered. I mean, he got in the game and played.
Emory threw a couple picks.
So, but now going forward, he's the guy, and he's still saying, "Well, I don't know if I'm going to be here."
The
next
point
year.
Is, this is the kind of problems you want to see from your rivals.
Absolutely.
Well, you've got problems at Clemson. You got problems at Clemson.
Yeah.
You got problems at Miami. You got problems at Florida. We'll see.
And the question is, though, are they just singular 2021 problems, or are these problems that are going to be there next year and the year after that? Because that's when it comes to Florida State fans. Look, this season's it's a lost season. You're probably not going to have a winning record. You're probably going to finish 4-8. 5-7 if you have a couple good games somewhere in there, but your rivals aren't, you know, they're not over the moon either. Like they've come back to you, and I feel like you're getting better.
The conference isn't great.
No,
if you look around, you got a shot here. Looking ahead, look, Boston College got drubbed by NC State. I thought they would. I think NC State's the best team in the ACC, but they're not world beaters. It's not like they're the best team in the country. You're not playing Oklahoma on that fateful day or something like that. And even Oklahoma's got flaws, but Florida State wouldn't be able to expose those.
Right.
So the point is, you get NC State here. The Miami game before the season, you thought if they played as well as they're capable of playing, they would beat Florida State. Now you don't assume that at all. If anything, we think Florida State's going to win that game.
I think they'll be favored.
If this kid keeps going, they'll be favored by 7.
Yeah.
If the two teams stay on their current.
We thought before the season Florida State would be a 28-31 point underdog in that game on the road against Clemson.
Yeah.
And they're probably going to be a 7-10 point underdog. And even then, maybe. We think that they could win that game.
Clemson's offense
is just dreadful.
Well, I mean, we'll see what they do. Maybe they put up 50 on Pitt. That would be a stunner.
But also, think about this. The Florida State can stop the run.
Yeah.
The only thing Clemson does well right now is run the football.
Yeah. And they can rush the passer, and he does not like being affected by the pass rush. The one thing I would say, though, when you look at those teams and what's the most likely to be a one-year thing, to me it is Clemson, just because they still have skill.
And they got good
players, still got great defense.
Yeah.
They got to figure out the quarterback situation.
Yeah.
And the offensive line. Well, the offensive line you would assume will get better as it gets older. I mean, they're young.
I mean, we assumed that around here for a bit.
I think they started with some higher-level material, but, you know, we'll see. But you know, you dismiss the Florida thing, man. I really
I just think we need more evidence. I don't think they're about to quit.
I don't think that at all. I just think that, I mean, he's kind of seems like he's doubling down on that defensive coordinator. I mean, he didn't make a change last year.
Grantham.
And people are demanding him to make a change now. And he's
well, he's not going
to
make it mid-season.
No, he's not. But we'll see if he does at all. He just doesn't seem like a guy that's going to be real reflective.
Wait till Stetson Bennett lights that ass up. Then you might have to get rid of old Grantham.
Yeah,
by the way, he looks like you think he'd look. He looks like a nondescript frat kid.
Like in person. That's what I said. How would you even know it was him?
Yeah, just because he's the Georgia quarterback.
I actually do think that that's exactly what I thought he'd look like. His name is Stetson Bennett.
Well, right, but he's just so unassuming. Like, most people didn't even know he was sitting there. Like, the idiots in front of me didn't notice that was the Georgia quarterback in front of them that they were getting peanuts on.
Well, but they were wasted.
They were, yeah.
And they were worried about each other.
They were.
To the point where the guy wasn't watching the game.
Well, yeah, it was fun.
And the other side of this, do we need to go to break?
No, you're okay. Good.
And the other side of this is not just that the rivals are struggling, but, you know, talking to people around the program, there's a lot of excitement inside the program about the way the players have been acting the last few weeks.
They're enthused.
They are. It's like a different team. Now, granted, the concern, I may write about this, or I was going to talk to Corey, one of us will write about this. You know, you don't want to be that team that gets high when you start winning and then goes back in the tank if you lose a game. Like, is this all going to go away if you lose to Clemson? And I think Norvell talked about that today and said, you know, it doesn't need to be about the external factors. It needs to be about you're committed to the work and the progress. And if you do that, that improves the overall attitude. But that's what we have to see. But as far as where the team is, I mean, these wins, it's not just the fans that are excited right now. I mean, the players in everything they do apparently are completely different from what they were 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Well, and it's funny because I remember before the Syracuse game, we were talking about the second half of the Louisville game. Would it carry over? Right. Would there be proof of concept? Would you see this team getting better? And it did in the first quarter, certainly. And so we kind of thought, oh, well, that's interesting. Let's see how far does a win go. And a bunch of people responded when we were talking about the possibility of beating Syracuse. Well, win's not going to mean much. You've already lost to Jacksonville State. Your year's ruined. I'm like, when you're working your ass off every day at practice and you've bought into a coaching staff and you've lost every game, winning is going to mean a lot. Like, just winning a game. Just knowing that there is a payoff at some point. Let alone winning two in a row and looking really good doing it, and especially that game against North Carolina. Now you're going to beat UMass. That's going to be basically 4 weeks without losing a game because you had the bye. So, listen, they're probably feeling awfully good about themselves, and they're continuing to work hard. We saw that they were bought in the North Carolina game.
And like, then when you do see what's going on the rest of your schedule,
you're like, okay, you're emboldened.
Yeah.
Yeah, you
believe. Well, and just to the rest of the conference and the rest of the country as a whole, you're like, okay, you're not, it's not a 7-year rebuild. It doesn't have to be. Teams flip quickly. Now, to get to a national championship level, that's a while. But to get to a top 10 or 12 level, it ain't that long. I mean, Michigan State's there right now. We'll see what they do when they start. I mean, their offense isn't very good. But there's nothing that says, like, if you're Florida State, you see how quickly these teams can get better very quickly, or the reverse happens.
Well, especially
these really good teams fall off the face of the earth.
Yeah, well, especially with the transfer portal. I mean, if you keep doing what you did this past offseason.
Florida State was a step further behind in some of those situations because those places, while having new coaches, didn't have a new coach on the heels of having a new coach on the heels.
Right.
So it wasn't three coaches in 4 years.
Kind of evens all that out to a certain extent.
Well,
like, you don't have to. I mean, they're going to go get another 8 or 10, right? At least new guys.
Oh, you absolutely have to.
They're ready made. And look at the transfer portal they got now.
But you also know that if you bring in 10, what, 3 or 4 are going to hit?
Well, that's maybe if you hopefully you get better. You get better options now that you've proven that you're getting better as a program. But their 3 leading tacklers are all transfer portal guys. Do that again next year. Get you another Jermaine Johnson out there.
Well,
you'll be good to go.
And you are getting to keep some of these guys. I mean,
Gibbons comes back and all that. Yeah, absolutely. I almost said the wrong thing. I almost proclaimed this trio of greatness to be the Jeff Cameron show. That would have been terrible.
But you know,
I caught
show.
That right there.
It's the Corey Clark
show.
The
Irish Chappelle show. He's in the driver's seat right over
well,
there.
Well, that's right. You're right.
Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV comes back in a moment. How you doing there, podcasters? Good. Good to hear it. Listen, if you're wondering for a good place to eat, watch a game, have a cold beer, enjoy a lot of choices, we suggest Horizons Bar and Grill.
Maybe even run into us.
You might see us. You and I especially.
Yes.
I'm there once a week, I think. When I'm in town, I'm there. Stephanie and I are there. Great place. Cold beer, hot women, everything you want in a I probably shouldn't have said that.
Hot beer and cold women at
whatever
some bars.
You're into.
I like the good-looking ladies, too. That's
sure,
all right.
But
even if that's not your thing, I'll be there. I'm a good-looking guy.
And we would all agree, great food.
legitimately most good important food. Part of this ad is the great food.
It's great food. They got TV, sports bar. They got the vibe, but beer, food, everything you could want. And most importantly, again, other than the food, is that there is at least, I'd say, a 35% chance one of us would be there.
And you get the mac and cheese bites.
And you can get those shrimp tacos, which are the king. You've gotten healthy on me lately.
I eat the hummus.
Who eats really that? Good. He does. At Horizons Bar and Grill.
I didn't know I like hummus. Maybe I don't, but Horizons got some great hummus.
But you look for them on their website. You can see their happy hour specials. Just a great place to hang out. And it's and if you want to like a little upscale dinner, you can go in there for that as well. It's at Bannerman Crossing at the right off of Thomasville Road in Bannerman. Up there on the Northeast Tallahassee.
Tell them Headlines sent you.
Well, the important thing is support the people who help support Seminole Headlines. That's Horizons Bar and Grill. And thanks for listening to the podcast.
Woo!
Seminole Headlines is brought to you by Register Sausage, serving the Florida Panhandle and Lower Alabama for over 75 years. To find a store near you or to buy directly from Registers, head to registermeats.com. That's registermeats.com.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
I know how much they needed the bye to get healthy. I have to tell you, this ride of momentum actually bothered me going into this past week without a game. I was so pumped up to continue to watch the team build. I know it's not about the actual result against UMass, because it would be if you lost. But
yeah, that would be a result that mattered.
Yeah, actually, I don't think he could recover from that.
Would you fire him if he lost to UMass? I'm genuinely serious.
I would have to consider it.
Yeah.
They can't, but I'm thinking, you lose to Jacksonville State and UMass in the same year.
What if first series, both quarterbacks are out there?
Yeah. Just start throwing stuff on the field.
And they're doing stuff like
folks,
that.
If you're in the crowd, just start littering the field with bottles.
No.
Get your Tennessee on if that happens.
No,
we are not doing that again.
Just boo. Just boo. Don't throw anything. Just boo.
I mean,
boo.
I feel like you should throw stuff.
No.
I mean, they're plastic bottles. You're not going to hurt anyone.
Just boo.
Don't bring any golf balls or mustard.
Somebody brought that up on the chat. How do you walk into a stadium with a golf ball? You had every intent of throwing a golf ball at somebody.
Yeah.
But how would that? What circumstances would lead to that?
You saw him.
Like, no,
yeah, terrible call.
No, but I'm like you waited the whole game. Yeah. Now's my chance. I'm going to throw it at that bastard.
My favorite part, and I didn't like a lot of people were freaking out about the Tennessee situation, and like it's not good. Obviously,
no, it's ugly.
It's not good. It's ugly. It's not unprecedented. People acted like that's the first time fans have done that.
And go to an FSU Miami game at Miami.
Yeah.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, there's been stuff. I've seen it. We've seen it at games before. And it's certainly happened. It used to happen, I think, a decent amount back in the old days. But the way I don't know, like the way they the players the way the fans like when they ushered my favorite part I think was when they ushered the fans out, like the students, they went and they're like, okay, you guys have to get away.
Before
go back
Lane.
Up. And so they made the students like leave the area, and then the referees and security left, and then as soon as they started playing again, the students all rushed right back.
It's weird that happened.
Too.
So back to the Noles for a second, just because I didn't think I'd miss this group, and I missed them. And I didn't mean that like disparagingly, but the year is the year. They're not going to have a great season no matter what happens. I guess if they win out.
Yeah, that would be a great
season.
Yeah,
it'd be a good season.
They'd have the longest winning streak in the country.
That'd be pretty amazing. Yeah. But that said, short of them winning out, which we don't think they will, it's going to be a whatever season, an average season.
How much do you think the overall turnaround in terms of attitude and spirit they're playing with? I mean, they played hard even earlier.
Yeah, I don't feel like they've quit on any game.
But how much do you think kind of taking it to a different level is because of them seeing Jordan have this success and the possibilities of what Jordan brings to the offense if he plays like that? And if that is part of it, if something happens to him, does that deflate things?
Well, I think Florida State's ability to win football games, whether they're deflated or not, decreases greatly if Jordan Travis is not your starter right now, because they're going to design what they want to do around everything he brings to the table as a runner.
Yeah.
And that's how the passes open up, is because you do everything off that run game, and then you design these shot plays, which is really smart. But they can't just drop back pass. We know that.
Yeah.
If Jordan doesn't do it well, and we know McKenzie is damaged good, so they wouldn't be able to do it. I think one of the reasons they're encouraged, though, is because legitimately they bullied North Carolina.
Right.
The offensive line got slightly healthy, and they bullied North Carolina. Now, if that group gets healthier And you see some of these teams that have struggled to stop the run, Miami, for example, cannot stop the run. I mean, all of a sudden you feel like that's a game you can win the game in the trenches. That's real football. That's like what they did against North Carolina was real football. It wasn't all gimmicky. That was a designed offense around his legs, yes, but then they were able to run up the gut because of it. They did a lot of – I mean, we see they're running for over 200 yards a game. They're running the ball.
Yeah, and they're actually – I was wrong in my – I wasn't happy about that. I looked up the last time Florida State had run for over 200 yards, 5 out of 6 games, and I misread some stats in 2004. Mm. They gained like 218 yards, but then they lost 35 because Wyatt Sexton was getting sacked a bunch.
Yeah.
So anyway, the last time they've done this was 1995.
95, yeah.
When they had work done in Rock Preston. I mean, it's crazy what they're doing running the ball. Now, that 1995 team also slung it around.
I was
going
to say, they could opt to throw it if they wanted to.
There was an option.
That was on the table.
Yeah, they
a little
had
more
choices,
balance
buddy.
There with with Andre Cooper and E.G. Green both having 1,000 yards receiving.
Yeah.
They're doing stuff that hadn't been done here in a long time in the running game. And, again, when you look ahead to the end of this season and going into next season, the offense comes back almost intact. And if you can finish out this season, you're not going to score 35 on Clemson or Florida, most likely. But if you can finish this season strong enough, even if you're 4-8 or 5-7, 4-8 say, and your rival is 4-8, and your other rival is 8-4, you don't feel that far behind them.
It doesn't feel too distant now.
You know what I mean? This time last year, you're like, man, this might be
They're going to lose some guys that you worry about on defense. And, you know, I mean, that defensive line, they're going to have to find some replacements there. I mean, you do worry about that. Jermaine Johnson has made a big difference, as you correctly noted earlier in the show. Losing him is difficult.
I guess they don't have
some good players, but they don't have Jermaine Johnson.
We haven't seen the Miami game yet, so we don't know how it's going to play out. I'm pretty confident it's not going to be 52-10 again.
I'm pretty confident it won't be either.
You've seen the whether it's Miami getting much worse, you getting better?
No, they're buoyed. There's no getting around that. They are. There's reason for optimism.
So I think Florida State fans are looking around the state and looking around the country and kind of like, well, why not us? Like, maybe not this year, but there's some building blocks in place, and it ain't like the rivals are really taking advantage of the situation.
The biggest thing is the continued buy-in and now some results to go along with maybe some consistency. The belief is being rewarded, right? The coaching staff, the belief in sticking with this group is being rewarded, at least for now. If you get some good results, like let's say 2 more wins, maybe 3 more wins, God forbid, you go 5-7, something like that.
How about that? You might even go to a bowl, get 6-7.
You know what's going to happen when we go 5-7. All of us are going to be like, Jesus, they should have gone to a bowl. Jacksonville State, really?
Maybe they will.
Is GPA good? Is that how it works at 5-7?
Well, and then also, I think at this day and age, it's how much, like, what schools want to go.
Yeah,
because a lot of schools,
this one would want to.
You would think.
Yeah,
the extra 15 practices.
Shreveport action, boys.
I was going to say, but I don't think Jermaine Johnson might be in sweatpants for that one.
Yeah, he may
not
miss that
have,
one.
You're not going to have double J.
He probably won't
there
be there.
There may be a few guys that say
Keir Thomas might not be in action.
I'll be in Shreveport.
You won't be in Shreveport.
What was
the last bowl game you went to?
The Orange Bowl.
No, the Michigan game.
Yeah, when we beat Michigan.
Yeah, you're not going to Shreveport.
Was that the last bowl we went to?
Oh, there was the Shreveport Bowl.
Oh, I didn't go to that one.
Yeah, that's it. And UCAP.
I missed El Paso.
Yeah, you didn't come to El Paso.
Oh, you guys, really, get on me for missing Shreveport and El Paso, boys.
But you just said you're going back to Shreveport.
I'll go to Shreveport.
If this team makes a bowl.
You don't want to go, Ira and I will go.
No,
maybe
man,
I should drive. I can
drive to Shreveport.
But you hate Shreveport. You rip people.
You can't go back to Shreveport.
Well, I'm probably not welcome in Shreveport.
You peed on the face of the people of Shreveport the last time you were on the air.
I just peed on the face of that pig on top of the barn. At the stadium, the fairgrounds right next to the stadium. That stadium is from the Civil War.
Yes,
that's where the rebel soldiers had their day of their tug of war or something, man.
Their tug of war?
Whatever they did back in the
1860s. We don't have much to do today, boys. Anybody want a tug of war?
Let's get some fans in here. Watch this. I mean, it is out of the 1860s, that stadium. But the city itself, it's got all the lights.
No, you sound the
It's got
worst.
All the
is
casino lights. It's like a Vegas on the river.
After the bowl game like
it's
that.
It's not like that at all.
After the bowl game, like, everybody had gone. Like, the only media there, I don't know, I ended up somehow having dinner.
Why
with
were you there still?
I ended up, because I think my, I don't know, did I fly? I think I flew. And
I
my flight
say,
was
why
different.
Why are we hanging you, around? You guys,
he's on a Buddy Holly plane to get to Shreveport.
So I was stuck, and it was me and Safid Dean.
You Safid and the big
Dean
bopper.
Went and had dinner at some, like, buffet place that was so bad.
Imagine
man.
A buffet
weird.
In Shreveport.
So weird. The Shreveport buffet didn't. The Shreveport casino buffet.
You pulled in thinking this is going to be awesome.
Man, look at that. They got chicken
buffet at Shreveport. This is a kick ass.
That was actually the great moment. Yeah, you never know how things are going to play out because somebody on the staff was with DeAndre Francois after when they went to the site of the stadium. No, they went to the stadium before the game, like a few days before when they got into town. And DeAndre Francois said something along the lines of, "Man, we got to get better."
Yeah, we can't be at this place. Yeah, man, it was nuts. It was nuts. Yeah, but hey,
I think everybody looks around when they're in the street. We got to do better.
We got to do better than this.
Like, all of our decisions up to this point led to here.
Yeah.
We got to do better. This is not what you do. Sorry for the fine folks at Shreveport. Once again, Corey's just kicking me in the teeth.
I didn't do that.
Yeah,
I
just, we're just hearkening back.
And weirdly, and I'm not saying this just to save face, the people that put on the bowl were great. And they were, you know, because it's a big deal to them. And they, you know, what else they got in their lives?
They're stuck in Shreveport.
Yeah,
right,
no,
yeah.
But they really did. The walk-ons people and the people that ran it, they did a really good job. They were very nice, very accommodating. It's just you don't have a lot to work with at that bowl.
You can gamble in Shreveport.
You can. That's what I'm saying. I would go.
But even that's depressing, man.
It is.
It's not high-level gambling. It ain't the Mirage. You know, you're not the Cosmopolitan.
It's like a craps table, a couple of blackjacks tables. There's a dealer playing war. You can go play war against him.
There's a 72-year-old woman smoking.
You couldn't get
hanging
your,
and playing the slots.
Yeah, just all. Well,
I
want to
see that. I want to see that. I want to be there for that.
Kung Pao.
Pai Gao.
Pai Gao. Pai Gao.
They have a Kung Pao.
Kung Pao.
I couldn't get my Pai Gao chicken.
In. Who's ready for a little Kung Pao?
Kung Pao chicken.
Let's go.
They didn't have Pai Gao either. That was disappointing.
I want to go in there and sit next to that lady that I'm describing. Hey, sweet cheeks, you want a little Kung Pao?
Are you ready for some of this? But, hey, man, I would definitely go. If this team miracled them their way to the Shreveport Bowl, I don't even know if Shreveport would invite them back. I don't think they like my column
miracled their way to Shreveport.
But that's what it would take right now, right? Yeah. Like, to get there after starting out 0-4, they would deserve all of us to go. If this team makes a bowl,
the entirety of the War Chant staff is rolling into Shreveport.
If we can get
it's
hotels.
A caravan.
If you can get hotels.
In a Winnebago.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care.
Hell-bent on Kung Pao and gambling.
I mean, just do something. if they're in a bowl, that would be incredible.
And some buffet chicken.
Well, they have steakhouses, and I don't know why he would go to the buffet.
Indeed. We could call Safeed. He could join us. It'll be a good time. Everybody would be there.
They might have steak on the buffet.
I'm sure it's delicious.
They do have real restaurants in those casinos, like steakhouses. They're not Ruth's Chris, maybe, but there's steak, and I mean, you get what you go to a buffet in Shreveport, man.
We could stop by Lake Charles on the way.
Yeah, it's a pretty place. Yeah, it's really pretty.
Lovely,
it's lovely.
If you like pollution. Simple Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
We're doing a little research here, looking at the Pitt Clemson game. And my boys were asking the last time Clemson was an underdog, and you said... The LSU game, right?
No, I said an underdog in conference.
In conference.
Yeah, which I think would be 14 FSU. With even with Jameis not playing, I think they were probably an
underdog. Just interesting that for people wondering, Pitt is favored over Clemson this week. Pitt is favored. And that's going to be on the College Sportsbook. In fact, I'm doing an interview today with the guy who covers Pitt. So it's going to be interesting.
The world's upside down, man. The world's upside down. Michigan State's undefeated. Wake Forest is undefeated.
And you're right. I mean, this would be a spot usually you'd expect Pitt to stumble. But I don't know if Clemson can take advantage of it. I mean, their offense is so bad.
Definitely, Pitt has the better quarterback, and Clemson has the better defense, but Pitt's at home, so it seems like it should be a close game.
It is crazy to look at the 27.5-point favorite Clemson was over Georgia Tech. They won 14-8. They were 10.5-point favorites over NC State. They lost the game straight up. They were 15-point favorites over Boston College. They didn't cover. They won 19-13. And they were 13.5-point favorites on Friday against Syracuse. They won the game 17-14.
And maybe it's just wishful thinking. It probably is. But does this Clemson season feel like 15 FSU?
something's not right, man.
Where they didn't have a quarterback, offense wasn't good, and you kept waiting for something to happen. And they still started out 6-0 that year, Florida State in 15, right. But it was smoke and mirrors.
You could sense that there were problems, and it wasn't just – they weren't physical problems. There were problems off the field. Like, you began to feel like they were disjointed, right. And we began to wonder, like, well, has he lost these guys? Is the locker room a problem? Like – well, I don't know. Without being there on the beat at Clemson, I don't know if that's happening. I sure hope so.
Well, what does become a problem, and sometimes it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, because when you've won at such a high level,
yeah,
and then something goes wrong, now you just don't have that belief. I mean, they've had for 4 or 5 years, they believed they were the best team in the country. They've got the best coaching staff in the country. This is a machine. They can't be stopped. And then once you start taking some losses, things aren't going well, you start – there become like cracks in the foundation.
Well, people begin to point fingers.
Can you fix that quickly, or does it escalate? And going into next year, we talked about, you know, how quickly they can rebound from it. I have no doubt in my mind, like, the offseason will be good. They'll get focused on hard work. They'll do all the things Jimbo tried to do to try to rein it back in. But then once something goes wrong, it's, again, man, once you start losing that's why Saban's so amazing.
The thing is Dabo's been like this since 12. Right. I mean, it's been a long run of 11-win seasons.
No, it has. It has. But they haven't had to deal with anything like this.
No, and it'll be really interesting if they lose to Pitt. And they come back, and then they have to play Florida State. I mean, Florida State's now like Florida the trap State. Game, which is crazy to think about. Like, Pitt's the hard game, and Florida State's like the game they might – if they get a big win or a loss, it might, you know, they might not play well that week because it's Florida State and it's not a big game to them.
Normally don't do this, but we want to say thank you to Kevin, who donated to the job here, but also K-Dog. Had a question to go with it, and it was, he read a report that Woodward will go after Dabo for LSU's job. Do you think there's a chance, is the question he has for us, and also he wants to know because he thinks it'll affect Florida State's recruiting in terms of what they can pluck from LSU. Yeah, at this
point. I saw Dabo was asked about that today, and as you can imagine, he said, there was only one Death Valley he was concerned with.
Also, I don't think
and it's
I
the
leave,
one in California.
I don't think I leave Clemson for LSU.
It's California, right? Death Valley in California?
Or Arizona, one or the other.
Somewhere out there in the
I don't think
desert.
I leave Clemson for LSU. They're very similar places. I think I would leave Texas A&M for LSU.
Yeah, yeah. My man was, but Jimbo was straight up emphatic.
Well, he caught himself, though.
Well,
he did.
He did not say, I'm definitely staying here.
Yeah, he didn't. I thought that was interesting.
He never spoke like that in the 3 straight years he was asked about LSU.
Well, he kind of referred to this as a great place.
It always looked better in print than when you heard him.
Yeah.
When you heard him yesterday, he sounded more convincing. Mm. Like, I really think.
And he also had that look on his face that when he's feeling himself and feeling
froggy.
Cocky about something, that it was like, yeah, y'all thought I was going to say something else. This is me telling y'all I'm staying at Texas A&M.
Let him lose two more games. Let's see what happens.
We'll see. LSU might not want him then.
Ross Dellinger guy tweeted that he's not sure LSU is interested in doing that dance.
They got a lot of good choices, by the way. There are a lot of people.
Yeah,
out
but
there.
You're right. Like, it's Jimbo's been on that back and forth doing the tango with them for 3 years. Yeah. They might be 3 different times. They might be like, we're not doing this again. We're not going to get you another raise just so you can spurn us again.
They just got another raise. I mean, good Lord.
I mean, how many more
I do say that. I still say that LSU spurned him as much as he spurned them. But anyway, it didn't work out in the previous overtures.
Bottom line, we'll see. I do think, regardless of what happens with whom they hire or whatever, I mean, Florida State has a chance to pluck a few kids from that LSU recruiting class and
Miami
and transfer portal.
I don't know what Miami's recruiting class is, but
it's in shambles.
Well, and there's also the bigger question there is some transfers, like those receivers that are going to the transfer portal. I don't know if Florida State would want them. They might. It's not like they've got a ton of talent.
They need some receivers.
But I think Dugan's probably signed at least one, maybe both of those guys, because they're fourth or fifth year guys.
Oh, okay. Are they any good?
I mean, they were good like last year. They just didn't play much this year.
Okay.
I don't know what happened.
Yeah, well,
I mean, it could have been.
Well, it's not like there's a depth of talent at receiver here.
Yeah,
so
no,
insane.
I know, but it'd be cool if a guy that had like 80 catches for 1,100 yards, like, I just want to go play in Tallahassee 1 year. Just for my last year.
Yeah, but, you know, as far as the question, though, what would be appealing to in this Texas A&M, whether it's Jimbo or Dabo or anybody, what is appealing about that job is not only do they – obviously passionate about it, they'll throw a lot of money at it.
But the
talent is unbelievable. Recruiting in Clemson is hard.
He
has to go to Atlanta. He has to go to Miami. He has to go everywhere to get players. In Louisiana at LSU, he could just stay home.
Hour 2 forthcoming. Stay tuned.